Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Hello and welcome back, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. We introduce to you a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. It feels new because it feels like it's been forever since I've been here, but nope, I'm still here. We're all still here. We're back doing it to it. Welcome back to the show. If it's your first time here, welcome. We are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen, and we do it one track at a time. I am your gone but not forgotten co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, I just have to tell you, thank you for holding down the fort. We just got done with the American Thanksgiving holiday, and things were crazy these past couple weeks. So I just want to thank you for keeping the ship afloat. How you doing?
Hey, you know what? My pleasure. It was kind of a last minute thing, but for all the people that were messaging us. That's right. We're back this week. Mark, last week forgot that Thanksgiving was a thing and happening in the States, and kind of forgot he was having family over. So at the last minute, we just pulled an entire show out of our ass. I called Kevin Brown.
In my defense, though, the plans weren't finalized until the last minute. So it was kind of a scramble. But I understand.
Yeah, that's still no defense. You don't leave the Van Halen brethren hanging like that. But Kevin Brown pitched in. He tried to moderate. We have some strong-willed people on that call, and they all have a love for Van Halen. They all have a love for talking. So it went a little long. Kevin Brown, God bless him, did his best. Whenever you got Eric Senich on a show, like, you got to pick your moments and cut in. Otherwise, he's going to break into another 20-minute story. It's just you have to know how to moderate those guys. But one of the guys joined us for the very first time. He's on our call here tonight, too. He's one of our Tier 4 patrons. Mark, why don't you do your thing and introduce our special guests here?
It's the Tale of Two Michaels on today's episode. Please welcome back to the show our honored guest and loyal patron, Michael Griffith, and joining him, another honored patron, Michael Triplett. What is up to you, Michaels Squared?
Well, good to be here. Happy to do this again.
Yeah.
Great name, Michael, by the way. So,
yeah. Hey, very cool. Van Halen brothers, Michael brothers. Here we go.
A lot of correlations with Van Halen and Michaels. So, you know, we'll take that as a good sign. But we're happy to have you guys here. It's always a good time when Corey and I can be joined by enthusiastic, like-minded folks like you guys. And I know you guys are enthusiastic. Griffith, you've been on the show many, many a times. You're basically an honorary member. So there you go. So we know what to expect out of you. Michael Triplett, man, we know your enthusiasm has shined through. So very excited to get into whatever track we land on tonight and discuss it with you. So kicking it right off, as I said, we are post-Thanksgiving holiday. There's no snow on the ground over here, so that's nice. I probably can't say the same for Corey up in the Great White North, but Corey, there is a storm coming, and that storm is the name of goes by the name of Sammy Hagar, and he's not coming alone. No, he's got Michael Anthony with him, he's got Joe Satriani with him, he's got Jason Bonham. We talked about it before, but it bears repeating that Sammy and his group of friends are going back on tour, and they're gonna play some Van Halen tunes of the Sammy era. I think we went over, they're going to do some Dave era that Michael's going to sing. And again, we talked about it before, but I don't know. I was thinking about it earlier today, and I was just thinking, God, I really want to see that show, because as you all know, I have never seen Van Halen live. I've never got to see him. And at this point, it'll never happen. Unfortunately, it just won't happen with the passing of Eddie. And I don't think Alex is in any quick hurry to go back to playing those songs. So seeing this particular lineup, this particular tour, might be the closest chance I get to seeing kind of a long gone era of Van Halen and music, really, because these guys are legends at this point. So I don't know. I was thinking about that, and it made me feel very not nostalgic per se, but just it was giving me that sense of this is my do or die moment. Like, this is my chance. So I just want to know from you guys, are you excited for the prospect of seeing a kind of pseudo, not really, but kind of Van Halen go back on tour? And are you excited to hear what that might sound like? Corey, we'll start with you.
I have already got my tickets. We're flying out to Toronto for the July 31st show. I'm dragging the family. My youngest one's like, Sammy Hagar, I don't know who that is. I don't know who's raising that child. But then when I said Loverboy's opening for him, oh, Loverboy, working for the weekend, I'm in. So
I forgot Loverboy, yeah.
Yeah. So, no, we got the flights booked. We got the tickets purchased. I've already reached out to the Bo hosts from the Bogus Otis show. They're both going to the Toronto show. They got, like, fucking second row, though, because they got money out the asshole. I'm way in the back. I'm just happy to be in the building. It's going to be off of Lake Ontario, outdoor show. It doesn't get any better than that. Sammy Hagar, Michael Anthony, Joe Satriani, Jason Bonham, come on. I mean, like, if you can't get up for that show, you know, check your pulse. You're not really a rock and roll fan. That's going to be amazing. So as soon as they announced that tour, it's like, I thought maybe coming to Nashville, I was going to maybe hit you up for a couch or something. I thought about maybe going to Vegas, maybe hitting up Scott Haskin for a couch. But ultimately decided we're going to keep it in Canada because the dollar sucks so bad. So we're heading to Toronto. I really hope you get your tickets for Nashville, Mark, because I think you're going to have a hell of a time too. How about you, Mr. Griffith? Are you going to get tickets to the Sammy Hagar Best of All Worlds show?
Absolutely. I'm going to the Los Angeles show. My tickets, too. I'm blessed. I saw Van Halen 8 times, so 3 Sam, so Van Hagar. And I've seen The Circle a couple times. I've never seen Joe. And he's like the guitarist. I mean, the guy is brilliant. And, you know, if anyone can play Eddie stuff, other than maybe Wolfgang, I mean, this is the guy. And so, yeah, I'm very excited. The interesting thing to me is this was Alex's pick when he was going to go out with Davis. He picked Joe and Jason Newsted. Yeah. And then it fell through. And then here goes Sam kind of indirectly sticking it to Alan and scooping up Joe, just doing it on his terms.
I feel like Sammy probably had heard about that original lineup, and when it fell through, he probably thought to himself, you know, that's actually not a bad idea. I should call Joe, I was like, see what he wants, if he wants to do this. And Joe, I can just imagine Joe just kind of sitting there with his guitar by the phone going like, well, now what? And then Sammy calls him up and is like, you want to do this? Like, well, yeah, I'm ready, I'm right here, I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm learning the tunes. Yeah, let's do it. Scott Monroe,
like, but listen,
I just wanted to shout him out in the chat. It says he's got his tickets for Mansfield. Three generations are going to that show, him, his dad, and his son. So that's going to be what an experience to share that with your dad and your kid.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic.
That's awesome. Michael Triplett, though, how about you? How do you feel about this whole thing?
Looking at the schedule, thinking about it. Actually, what's funny is I've seen Dave and the For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge tour was at Blossom Music Center in Cuyahoga Falls, so it's just south of Cleveland. So wait and see. Got to look at the calendar. Got to look at what my kid's schedule's like. So it gets a little crazy, but
yes,
should be a good time. Life, exactly.
Yeah,
it's bound to be. I mean, if nothing else, then at least going to see these, as I said, like these are four legends, and you know, regardless of whether they play an equal amount of, you know, Sammy era versus Dave, what have you, is like, no, I just want to go see these four guys on stage together, just because of who they are. So just, yeah, it's definitely going to be one for the ages, I think.
You see the appetite for it, though, because this is really the circle, and they just replace Vic Johnson with Joe. But it gets 2 hours on Howard Stern. It gets a big Eddie Trunk special, stuff all over social media about it. It gets pretty, got a lot of press. So imagine if Al and Dave did something. I'm sure that would be even more, but a lot of people want to see this.
I'll tell you what, look how much press Dave and Sammy kind of got last week. They talked about it on the Patreon show. I want to kick it around a little bit with Mark, but Sammy, as part of that Howard Stern interview, said, you know what, we're going to be rolling into town. Anybody who wants to hop on stage with a guitar or sing, whatever, you know, we're going to let him. If Dave wants to come out, if Alex wants to come out, you know, fuck it, everybody's welcome. So everyone took that as a, hey, Dave, Sammy's inviting you out on tour with them. And Dave's like, yeah, let's do it. Bop, zip, doop, de, bop, I'm ready. And then Sammy had to go like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't want a fucking repeat of the Dave and Sammy tour. Because that was awful.
You want to come out? No, that's not what I said.
And then he literally said, you can come out for one song if he can remember the words. Like, if you can remember the words to Jump, you can sing that. That's about it. So I don't think Dave's going to be hopping on stage anytime soon. But that was big news. And actually, we were talking to Eric Senich because they kind of broke that on the Van Halen news desk. They got the quote from Dave saying, yeah, let's do it. Everyone got all excited. Oh, Dave's going to go on tour with Sammy. And Sammy's like, no. That's not what's happening. He can come out for like a song if he remembers the words. So.
A song. And it will not be anything from his YouTube channel. None of that. It'll be a specifically picked out song. And if he doesn't want to do that, or if he can't do it, then like, all right, that's it. You know, you got to have boundaries with people sometimes. And you know, I feel like Dave is one of those people that it's important right early on to establish said boundaries. So now that they are set, we can all press forward. But nevertheless, I think everyone, if you have the ability, if they're coming to a town near you or not far to travel, go see this tour, because it's going to be the last chance we all get to experience just a little bit of a familiar Van Halen. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's gonna be.
How's Jason gonna hit those drums? I mean, nobody's talked about Jason Bonham hitting his drums hard like Alex does, and Bonzo's kid, so he's been in a lot of bands.
Yeah, I guarantee you, we're gonna get a few Zeppelin songs too. I bet you.
Well, if I may, there, Jason Bonham did play very briefly in this, and I know it was a reality show based thing, but there was a super band that was put together called Fist that he played with it with Ted Nugent and Scott Ian of Anthrax and Sebastian Bach.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah. Now, while the whole experience was made for entertainment purposes visually, because the whole thing was a train wreck. However, the music that they did create wasn't great, but it was heavy. And I can tell you straight up, like, Jason knows how to hit them hard. I am certainly not suggesting he can hit just like Alex and give you an imitation. Not saying that, because the two don't compare, but I can say pretty confidently Jason Bonham's got the chops to at least pull it off the way he can. So I think we're in good hands for that. But if you're expecting, if you're expecting the same kind of drumming tonality and technique that you would get from Alex Van Halen, you should probably subvert those expectations, but be very much expectant to hear some good, solid musicianship. That's what I'll say.
Scott points out, Scott Everett, welcome, Scott. Pretty shitty comment on Sammy's part. Just wish those two would grow up a bit. Yeah, but he had a really bad experience, so he's still a little bitter about it. I get what you're saying, though. Scott Monroe, am I the only one to find it weird Wolfgang has been explicitly invited to stage with him?
I don't find it that weird.
I would love to see Wolfie on stage with him. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Why wouldn't he?
Scott says has not. Because I was trying to think. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't hear the Eddie Trunk interview. I wonder if they invited Wolfie as part of that, but apparently not.
Oh, I see.
And you know, I don't know.
It is weird.
Yeah, Sammy, I don't think has much of a relationship with Wolfgang. I'm not sure. He may, but you know, obviously Wolfie was in the band with Dave, so
I think Wolf would turn him down. I don't think.
Yeah, I think he would too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Tom pointed out the same thing. He think Wolfie wants to do his own thing, and Sam and Mike are respecting that. Yeah, Wolfie kind of said the Taylor Hawkins tributes are kind of like my goodbye to Van Halen, and you know, paying tribute mm-hmm. to my dad. Yeah, he's doing his own thing and he's killing it. He's on tour right now with Anita Strauss, and I'm sitting here with my fingers crossed, hoping that someday they'll remember Canada's a thing and maybe come up here and do some shows, because I'd love to see him.
Maybe this is just a hypothetical, but maybe this leads into a year or two from now where Wolf joins his uncle and Dave, and they try to outdo Sam. And do that kind of tour.
Wow, that'd be something.
That would be like a huge like middle finger. But I mean, it was, you never know.
It very well could happen. Forth, so I wouldn't surprise. Yeah.
No, it wouldn't be shocking at all. And if that does happen, we're gonna go back to this episode and point out, like, see this? Michael Griffith called this. So he knew he could see it on the horizon.
Yeah.
So
he called Joe Satriani again. He just went out on tour with Sammy. I know the songs. Yeah, I got him down now. He was a little iffy on the intro to Mean Streets when he was on Howard Stern, but. Like everyone's pointing out, that was their like first rehearsal. So give the guy a break. By the time they go on the road, he's gonna have that.
Take Gary and Dave and no Sammy, and that would cause some grit.
Oh boy.
I was just listening to Without You before you guys jumped on the call. I really kinda like that song.
I think that's the only one I've uploaded.
You've uploaded two.
Oh, I have. Oh, look at that. I was feeling generous. But I think Without You was one of them. So,
it was, yeah.
So yeah, okay. So
it's
a good
tune.
Play
it's a
any...
solid tune. And the other one that you is, liked was Year to the Day. We both uploaded
Year
that
to
one.
The Day. So, yeah, that's true. That is true. So there you go. I can be surprised. We only have one left from Van Halen 3, and I'm not really holding high expectations for that one. You know, and those of you who've already heard it, you can either say whether I'm going to hate it or I'm not. I don't know, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I hope it's not tonight, but we'll see. I guess moving on, I guess, is there anything else Van Halen news desk going on?
Well, there's a few things. If you head over to VHND.com, there's What's Your Ultimate Van Halen Mixtape? And Eric Sandage talked about this a little bit on last week's show. He was a guest on a podcast called My Weekly Mixtape, where they're coming up with the Ultimate Van Halen Mixtape, kind of like what I'm doing on Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. Except I have just a standard cassette tape on my show. It only has 9 tracks aside. They have 12. So if you want to go in and, you know, listen to that show where they talk about the ultimate 24 Van Halen songs to put on a mixtape, the link to that is there. You can also relive Van Halen's iconic 1983 U.S. Festival performance, which we've done over the last little bit here once that video was released. And you can take a closer look at the EVH guitar gifted to Jason Becker. When Eric was on the show, he talked about that auction. So you can go check those out. Nuno also has a little clip here talking about the drumming origins behind the Mean Street intro. And a link to the Best of All Worlds interview, Eddie Trunk's interview with Sammy Hagar, Michael Anthony, Joe Satriani, and Jason Bonham talking about the tour we're going to be checking out this upcoming summer. So all that and more on the Van Halen News Desk.
Lots of Van Halen stuff, Van Halen adjacent or parallel, however you want to look at it. It's all there. So yeah, go check that out. Thank you to our friends at the Van Halen News Desk. Talking about you, Eric Sinich. So, all right. Well, what do you say? Should we go to the poll?
Well, you know, I don't know if there is a poll. Did you put one for last week? Because it was kind of a revisit.
Right. No, you're right. I did not. I did not put up a poll. Did we go over the poll from the week prior, though?
No, we did not. So we can talk about that.
So,
yeah.
So that we can do.
That was a good one, too, because that was... Was that You Really Got Me?
It was, I think it was You Really Got Me.
Yeah, I believe it was, yeah, which I have the numbers here while you're looking up the comments. 90.6% What Dreams Are Made Of, 9.4% The Dream Is Over.
How about that? Not, I mean, I don't think we're ever going to get a 100% or close to it, but I mean, that's still pretty good, I think. I mean, like, I can...
it's all right. I tell you, it should be higher, but Just looking at the rankings here, You Really Got Me comes in at number 23 out of all the songs we've done. 100 and what are we at?
Corey. There was but the show before that, or show after that, we discussed Top of the World.
Oh, we did. I didn't even have that on my rankings.
Knowledge. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So how could
I should
not
just
go to that?
I'm gonna let Scott Monroe just do my part here, because I haven't updated the rankings. I had You Really Got Me as the last one. And
There you go. So
I'm still punch drunk from last week. So yeah, Top of the World was the one. Thank you, Scott.
I get it. Yeah. Thanks, Scott. And Top of the World, not quite the numbers that Matt, You Really Got Me, but still, I guess somewhat respectable. We've got a What Dreams Are Made Of 88.4% versus an 11.6% The Dream Is Over. Look, as heartbreaking as it is, this is a Sammy track. So we already knew right away that it was going to get a lot of downvotes just because it's of the Sammy era, despite the fact that I think it's one of the top tier Sammy era songs. And I mean, we gushed ad nauseum about Top of the World, but we had a feeling not everyone was going to feel the same way. Obviously not. But I don't know. It almost cracked 90%. I was kind of hoping this one. There's a few Sammy tracks that I was hoping would crack 90% and above. This one was one, but evidently not. So now I just got to know. I got to know why. And so I'm going to go to the tweets right now and read them from our beloved patrons. If you want your tweet guaranteed read on the show, join our Patreon, guys, like our friend Ryan Powell here. Ryan Powell says, Top of the World is Van Halen at their best, taking the great outro riff from Jump and developing it into something new and wonderful. There are so many interesting twists and turns this one takes, but it all fits so well and bookends the idea started back in 1984. The riff is just so uplifting and makes a strong opening, or closing in the case of Jump, statement. What's intriguing is that when the band comes in with Sammy, they start on the four chord instead of the one. A misdirection that propels things forward. A little bit of music theory nerddom going on. I appreciate it. The first riff is a great offbeat punctuated variation of the opening riff and serves as a counterpoint to Sammy's vocals. And yes, these are great lyrics evoking optimism while remaining grounded in the moment. Thank you for acknowledging that. He says the chorus represents another iconic, soaring, optimistic, sun-soaked melody with the postscript of "For a little while," immediately shifting into introspective reflection. Such a masterful turn just by a single line and dynamic delivery. The bridge's subtle shift to minor, subtle because it's using G major, C major, and D major chords that, while major, only fit into the key of E minor, and syncopated progression harken back to Jump's offbeat pre-chorus. Can you see me standing here? A la. The bridge hinted at the new minor tonality. The solo dives right in. The darkness and intensity of the first half of the solo section evokes the storm clouds of challenges, while the second half is triumphant with two beautiful guitar lines in harmony soaring over. Almost emblematic of coming out of the other side of the dark middle sections, the chorus has developed even further with a wonderful counter melody from Ed, which adds that much more lift to an already lofty refrain. I feel like Ryan's writing his dissertation on this song. I'm not mad at it, I'm just saying. But he concludes with, while fade outs can be a lazy path to an ending, it feels perfectly at home and the logical extension of the final track on this amazing album. Al ensures that it's not just by the numbers with the irregular rhythms that he throws in. Great song, absolutely what dreams are made of. Thank you, Ryan Powell, for that. I'll call that a straight-up manifesto, but again, it's a dissertation, and I love it. You win. You get your doctorate. Come get your diploma. There it is. Our buddy Heath McCoy chimed in on this one, and here we go. He says, unpopular opinion, but it's never been one of my favorite Van Hagar tunes. It just never connected with me for some reason. A bit too sugary, but I can't vote it down. Hey. Great playing, amazing harmonies, and crazily catchy. What dreams are made of. So look at that. Heath McCoy subverting our expectations right at the beginning.
We're going to convert him yet. He's going to be a Sammy lover by the end. We have 23 weeks to convert him to Sammy Hagar.
Only 23 weeks. Yeah. He's not afraid to let us know when he's not feeling a particular tune, especially when the rest of us are feeling it and he's not. This one surprised me because of his beginning statement. But yeah, I love that. I love that he even still, through all that, couldn't vote it down. Thank you, Heath. Our friend Kevin Brown says, upbeat, positive, melodic, great key change for the solo, excellent vocal, hashtag what dreams are made of, hashtag microfesto. I like that. Short and sweet. That's just like us, Kev.
Yep.
Short and sweet. Rave of Flav says, crazy, terrific show last week, starring the Patreons. Yeah, indeed. I listened to it. It was great. Thank you all for joining in and filling in when I was out. Rave of Flav says, this show is how I found out that the guitar at the end of Jump was used for Top of the World. That's great info. It is great info. It's good. It's nice to get little nuggets of information like that for Van Halen enthusiasts. Jeff Brewer says, this is a really good song. It reminds me a lot of Dance the Night Away. Catchy E major opening riffs, cool verse playing, happy pop lyrics, great chorus harmonies, and really cool tap harmonic melodies behind those choruses. Can't complain too much. Thumbs up. So, no, why would you complain about Top of the World? It's amazing. So Scott Monroe, he says, Pound Cake has to be in the conversation for best Van Halen opener, and Top of the World has to likewise be talked about for best closer. And he goes on to say, that opening riff, man, it's so uplifting to me. Hearing it immediately puts me in a good mood. It's pure rock and roll joy. Sammy's aside on the chorus, for a little while, such an amazing truth-telling touch. He didn't need to do that, but he did. It elevates the lyrics and universality of, or however you say that word, I'll just say universally, of the overall message, and I love it. As uplifting as the riff is, the solo takes it to another level. Eddie Van Halen's playing is insanely organic to the song's melody and soars to an incredible apex, just like the song's title. Hashtag what dreams are made of. I'm sorry I flubbed on that one word. It looked weird to me, but thank you, Scott, always with the inspirational words.
You take Greg one week Zito. Off. One
I know,
week
I know.
Off.
I can't just 1 week. This is why we can't take breaks, man.
That's okay. So I fucked up earlier too. Scott already yelled at me for that. So
those 23 weeks are just going to be hard hitting. Greg Zito says, this one always puts me in a great mood. Love the harmonies, dynamics, and the guitar. Absolutely. Brad Gould says, many said it already, it's an upbeat and happy song with a message of working hard to make it and the hard work to stay there. One of Sammy Hagar's best written work. Agree with Scott Monroe across the board, but I'll add that the solo really isn't limited to the traditional solo, the traditional solo section. After the first chorus, Eddie Van Halen starts playing a lead guitar track that comes out whenever Sammy pauses and just rolls right through to the end, with the two highlights being the solo and the outro. This may be their best musical performances as a complete band. Hashtag what dreams are made of. That, I mean, I don't disagree with most of what he said there, but that's, I dare say that's maybe a hot take, that last little bit, but nevertheless, I'm not going to fight him too hard on it. It's just, that's an interesting perspective. So not going to fight you, Brad. You do you, man. That's good stuff. All right. And moving on, I think, actually, nope, that'll do it for our patrons. So we had a lot more, but you guys, again, if you want your tweet guaranteed read on the show, join the Patreon. You got 23 weeks to do it. And then after that, who knows?
You know what?
Who knows?
We have a friend of a show that commented. Maybe we should read Kelsey's comment on Top of the World.
Yeah. We should. Look, it's the exception to the rule. our friend Kelsey Van Halen says, Eddie's notes after Sammy says, I gotta have a little taste, gotta be my favorite part of the song. The harmonies in the bridge, amazing. Eddie's melody in the back half of the solo is magical. This song reminds me of a bright sunny day, another great one off for Unlawful. Absolutely.
Yep.
There you go.
Gotta agree more.
Perfectly sums it up. Yeah.
So we had our score there on that one. I'm just curious if you guys can guess, out of all the Sammy tracks we've done, where do you think this one ranks, just out of the Sammy tracks? Mark, you think it's number one?
One.
You say number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Say third.
Third? Okay. Michael, two?
Give it fourth or fifth.
Man, you guys are dancing all around it. Number two.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, wait. Which one's number one right now?
Pound Cake.
Of course. Of course it's Pound Cake.
By like 1.1% is higher than Top of the World.
That's why I said this one was number one, because like it couldn't have been too much higher. So
and then
we'll put Cabo Wabo above it, in my opinion.
Oh, Cabo Wabo is
yeah. I would agree with it.
Cabo Wabo is a good one.
Cabo Wabo is the fifth Sammy track. Number three actually is only 0.1% away, and it's Why Can't This Be Love, 5150.
Right.
Yeah, what I thought was interesting, real quick, with the tweets, is all of them said how inspirational the song is. And I just had the thought that there's a lot of inspirational Sam songs like Dreams and this one. A lot of Dave ones that you hear and you feel good, Jump or Fill You Up Tonight or something. There's no Gary inspirational song. That probably was the demise of that album. None of them make you feel good when you put them on.
I tell you what,
I think Once is inspirational for you guys. It seems to like get you guys rolling, man, pumping.
But in pumping. It's inspirational, but just not in the ways that one would hope.
It's other emotions,
in fact. Yeah, it's inspirational for other emotions, not the happy ones. If I'm being real. Oh boy!
All right, I got another trivia question for you.
Should have been 5150.
A lot of people, yeah, and I'm shocked 5150 was as low as it was, but
I am too.
I can't even find 5150 on here. I'll look at that. But first of all, so we said Top of the World is the second ranked Sammy track. Where do you think it ranks overall out of all the songs we've done?
Oh, I mean, probably in the lower tier just because it's Sammy, but I don't know. Actually, I'll get maybe 30.
Okay, 30. Let's go with Michael Griffith first.
I'm gonna say halfway there, 15.
15? Okay.
I'm not even gonna try.
Jeez,
I got a number in my head and Mark will jump through that.
I tell you what, Mark was one away.
30s?
29.
29. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's just me being like semi generous because I knew it couldn't have been, it wasn't going to crack the top 10, certainly, or not the top 20, and certainly not the top 10. So, all right. Yeah. 29. Fine. I guess.
And 5150 is the fourth highest ranked Sammy tune, 33rd overall.
Really?
Yep. 33rd.
Okay.
Great job.
Oh my God, you
great
Sammy check. Haters, just you baffle me so I know. Much. But oops. Them's the bricks, right? So
Scott Monroe's picking Other Side of the Rainbow. Wrong band. we'll cover that one after we cover all the Van Halen tunes, baby. But
yeah,
that new album's so good.
It is, with the exception of one song.
Oh,
here we
God.
Go.
Just left that window wide open, and
he had to bring it up.
No. I know you did this on purpose, Scott. Like, I know you put the seed in his head for this. Maybe you did it indirectly, but you did it.
Kevin Brown's not here, so I'm going to play it. Bucket.
But I'm here, and I don't want to.
All right.
You got to get X out. Get X out in there. X
out. My God. You realize what you've done? You have jinxed the wheel. You have jinxed this show. And the next thing you know, we're spinning that last one. We're spinning Josephina.
I'm in a good mood. We got some good guests. The chat is hopping. I say we spin Josephina. I'm not manifesting it, but I wouldn't be mad at it.
Well, you said the magic word. Before we spin the wheel, we got to do our favorite thing. Everyone take a drink. It's time for manifestations. All right. So are you sure you don't want to manifest that one, Corey? What do you want to manifest?
Oh, you're going to start with me? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry with you. I got the Discord over here.
Perfect. You know what? I'm going to bring the wheel in so that our guests can see the wheel and all the folks at home can see the wheel. Everybody, I was kind of breezing through Discord and stuff, and everybody, we've been manifesting the same songs for like 2 months, it seems like. I've been kind of bouncing between the same songs. Humans Being always comes up. I always do Summer Nights or Somebody Get Me a Doctor. You always do Amsterdam. I wanted to do a song that I don't think anyone has manifested or hasn't in a long time anyway. I want to hear Good Enough off 5150. So I'm manifesting that one here tonight.
There you go. Good enough. Well, Scott Monroe wants Humans Being. Yep. You know, he's ready for it. It's happening. And of course, I think that's our buddy Josh, our good buddy Josh. Sweet Josh wants Josephina. He's going to manifest Josephina.
There you go.
I think he wants to be like a ripping off a Band-Aid. Just rip it off, get it over with.
He wants to do the Van Halen 3 ranking show for like New Year's, because we talked about maybe doing a Patreon show that week between Christmas and New Year's. And you know what? If we finish an album, we could do a live show and do the ranking show. So maybe we rank
that is true.
Van Halen 3.
So I forgot. Josh is a sadist. That's what it is. Okay. Well, but Jeff Brewer wants somebody to get me a doctor. So we're bringing that one back. Our friend and on a new panelist on the show, Michael Triplett, wants Jamie's Crying. You still want to manifest that one?
Oh, yeah. That one's a great one.
Well, there you go. No argument there. Old Chaz Charles wants he said spunked, but I believe he means spanked. So he's just going to keep manifesting that one until we finally land on it and Corey loses his mind. I see. Spunked is the radio edit version of spanked they play on the Come and Go in-store radio
station. That's right.
Station. That's, he had to elaborate on
remember
that.
Remember when
for that elaboration.
The Come and Go's and other convenience stores used to have their own compilation records because I had one in Canada. That's how I got all my Daryl Hall and John Oates fix, which...
Oh,
they're in the news right now for, you know, restraining orders and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Can we just aside real quick?
All right. A quick one. Go ahead, Mark.
Daryl Hall has put a restraining order on John Oates. I don't even know the details. I don't even care. I just find that hilarious that Daryl Hall had to put 70 something year old Daryl Hall had to put a restraining order on John Oates.
You know what's happening, though? There is a reason. It's because John Oates was trying to sell their entire catalog.
Yeah. I see.
Daryl Hall's like, no, I don't want that. So that's why they're going to court.
Look, man, honestly, I think give John Oates some money. You know, he's in the name. It's in Hall and Oates. Give him some money. That's the only reason he would do that.
You don't go to Hall and Oates for Oates, though. Like, fuck, you go there for Daryl Hall.
Look, when John Oates had that magical mustache, I guarantee you people went there for Oates. They weren't there for Daryl. But these days, it's all about Daryl. So I don't know. But that's just a fun little aside. It's not fun. It's actually kind of sad, but it's also a little bit hilarious. So, but anyway,
bands, I tell you, band dynamics are so weird. And guys like Chaz and yourself who are been in bands, you know better than anybody, I'm sure.
I don't know anything about band drama. Not a thing. Not one thing. Tom Armbruster wants to finish an album. He doesn't care which one.
All right.
That to me sounds like a cop out, and he wants to manifest Josephina. So I'm just going to put that in for him. But Davey Lee Smith wants Bullethead.
Oh, good one. Yes. Back to a different kind of truth. Yeah.
Exactly. So awesome, we got our discourse. Michael Griffith, man, what do you want to manifest tonight?
I have to say, Michael's must think alike. I was going to say Jamie's Crying, but I'll keep on the same album. I'm going to switch it to Atomic Punk.
All right.
Nice. Yeah. I'm shocked. That one's also one that's been manifested quite a bit, and I'm shocked we haven't spun it. I myself am also going to go with Michael Triplett here. Jamie's Crying, I think, would be really fun. And I know it's all about Sammy era right now, but Jamie's Crying, I mean, that's just a song worth talking about, I think. So I would like to manifest that one. And then, special Amsterdam, manifestation from,
is she in the building?
Invisible guest.
Is she ready?
She's in the building. Okay. She is in the building. So,
is Scott Haskin, because Scott Haskin called a shot last week when everyone's throwing out suggestions in the chat really quietly, Sunday afternoon in the park. And then that's the first thing they spun was Sunday afternoon in the park. So he called a shot last week. He's now eligible to get that shirt. He wants to hear Spanked because he's also a thief of joy and he's trying to ruin my night. And I don't know why, because I thought Scott and I were on good terms, but
you said you're in a good mood. So, yeah. Hey, don't let something as simple as Spanked ruin your evening. did you give me a manifestation?
I did. Yes. It was, I forget it. No, it was good enough.
Yeah. 5150. What was it? Good enough.
Yeah.
That's the other. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So both got, well, there it is. The manifestations are in. We're thinking really hard. If you're ready, Corey, Michael, and Michael, if you guys are ready, what do you say we spin this thing?
All right, let's do it. Oh, wait, that's not the song, is it? No? Okay. How about this one?
Find that thing four times.
All right, my thing isn't working. I'm going to have to spin it again.
Got to prime it.
Load it up. Oh, yeah, and I got to prime it, too. Good job.
Yeah.
Let's go do this.
JK, hey, LOL.
Yeah. False start. How many people? We got four on the call here. We have how many lurkers? We have seven. So should I do 11?
11.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seven, eight,
probably going to regret 10, that decision.
11. All right.
Here we go.
Oh, it's one. Oh. It's, come on, a little more. Ooh. Oh, you ain't one, two. Black and blue. I've been manifesting that for like a year, and we finally spun it.
Finally did it. There it is. Yeah, black and blue from OU 812.
I'm happy.
He's a happy man. Yeah, that's not tipping the hat whatsoever.
Maybe I'm happy because I'm going to rip it. I don't know.
That is true. Yeah, I have no idea what you're going to say about black and blue. You've only ever, you've manifested it, but you've never elaborated as to why. So yeah, as far as I know, you're just going to tear this thing apart. Before we get into it, do any... without showing your hand, any noteworthy things, anything to any fond memories about this song that you guys want to share? Michael Griffith, how about we start with you?
Well, this was the first single from OU 812, and when I got this CD, actually, I think I was playing it too loud, and my mom, I was in junior high, and my mom didn't really care for the lyrics, so. I had it taken away for a while and managed to get it back or find another copy. But that was probably my first memory of the song. The Tokyo version too, when they do it live on YouTube, is fantastic. So really good live version of it too.
It's so funny you mentioned that, Michael, because during the holiday, I had an interesting conversation with my parents where we reminisced about the music they did not like me listening to in my younger days and the albums that they had thrown away when they discovered that I had them, and they tried to deny that they threw those albums away. And I was like, no, I was there. You threw them away. I watched you do it. Like, that never happened. We didn't care what you listened to. Like, oh, but you did.
You did.
Yes, you did. You might not remember, but Pepper's Farm here remembers. So you don't try that shit with me. He's brought that memory back. Michael Triplett, anything you want to say before we get into this?
How do I put this? I own the cassette single. Before the album came out, I bought the cassette single. So I own the cassette single. I own the cassette. So I'm so happy that the remastered version's out and it sounds that much better. But I will say the cassette version sounds better than the CD version, except for now. So I'm just going to be quiet.
Well, there you go. I mean, look, cassette tried and they did well for a long time, and then eventually things must change, things must progress. So here we are in Remasteredville.
Gotta say, God bless Scott Monroe. He points out that this is kind of the opposite of Spank. This is what happens when you don't need to call the Spank line. You get a little black and blue.
He's not incorrect.
Scott Everett says, such a great song, such a terrible choice for a first single. Is it, though?
Oh.
I mean, I guess When It's Love might have made more sense, considering 1988, but I don't know.
Well, you know what? I was just going to say,
they didn't do videos for 5150, which was probably a slam against Roth, because Roth was all about videos. And then they do their first single, no video, for this. And then they finally did videos again with When It's Love. But So you had a single with no video again. Don't show a hand, but you know, the song's a good single song, but I don't think it got the promotion that it would have gotten other if it did have a video.
Well, we'll keep that firmly in mind as we listen to it and go through it, and we'll see by the end of it if we agree with Scott on that assessment. I'm curious, but I'm ready to do this if you guys are.
All right, let's go all the way back to 1988 and OU 812. This is the remastered version of Black and Blue. All right, what are we thinking about the opening, gentlemen?
My brain went you stopped it right before it started getting real, real good. But but the intro so far just, you know, sounds like a good standard sort of Van Halen rock song. Nothing too overly heavy, nothing too overly complex, but something very straightforward. It's preparing you, I think.
Are you planning to fade out? It's a fade in.
Yeah. Yep. And this is the remastered version. Yep.
Yeah, you really hear Alex's drums. I mean, that's kind of what took me. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, Michael, you mentioned Bonham and everything. I mean, it's very Bonham-esque, his drum sound there.
I don't know about you guys. I got the remastered on vinyl. And to me, the vinyl version sounds so much better than the digital. The digital, I don't hear a ton of difference. There's a little bit. Like you said, Alex is a little more front and center. Everything's kind of still a little too thin. Whereas on vinyl, I don't know, I get a fuller, richer sound. That was one of my big takeaways was, OU812 sounds great on vinyl remastered. And I haven't listened to the digital version too much. And listening to this, it's like, yeah, it's better, but it still doesn't equal what I was hearing on vinyl anyway.
I still think a lot of that probably has to do with how well your sound system connected to your turntable is. You know, it's like if you're plugged in and like you got a strong enough amp and everything, like, yeah, you're gonna hear literally everything. Whereas, you know, on digital, I guess you can only hear so much without, you know, blowing out your drums because you cranked the volume up too high. But I get it though, because you want to feel the space, and that's what vinyl ultimately, I think, tries to do, is like feel the space in the room and like really feel everything, every little thing that is happening within this performance. So fair enough, I could see that.
This is where I want, like,
that, say that.
I want that fuck production on this one, right, guys? Like that big boom and kick drum, especially on the da-da, boom, da, bump, bump, like really big heavy drums there, and just little thin on OU812, unfortunately.
That's where I want to get my Klipsch tower speakers and subwoofer and just blare stuff. So
that's what that live version I mentioned. If the Tokyo 89 live version, it sounds fantastic, better than even the
100%. Yep, 100%. All right, let's keep her going. All right, so one of the things about this song way back when was the lyrics are a tad suggestive. Slip and slide,
tad.
Push it in, bitch sure got the rhythm. I'm holding back, yeah, I got control, hooked into her system. Yeah, not a lot of gray area there. Scott Everett, tell us what's really on your mind, Sammy. Yeah, it's not breakfast.
That line got
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I need to read the lyrics for those.
I thought I was listening to Whitesnake for a second there.
Sometimes subtlety is unnecessary. Sometimes it's just like, no, we're just going to be very, very direct. And if you can make it, you know, sensical within, you know, your song, then hey, why not? I was just thinking about it. I was like, well, at least it's not up for breakfast in terms of lyrics. You know, it's like I could get down on this so far.
All right, let's keep going. All right, it's more back in the mix than we like those harmonies, but man, are they good, especially on the ooh, the nice little oohs, and then Do It Till We're Black and Blue.
But see, it might be far back, but because Michael is singing so high, that high, you know, that high level harmony, it comes through very, very full, and it's oof, that's glorious.
I think for harmonies, this album OU812 is the best for Mikey.
Yep. Hard to argue.
And so many others on this record.
Yep. When it's live, even.
When it, yeah, feels so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh man, I tell you, whenever they put a little stank on it,
and put some stank on it.
Van Halen stank, man, nothing beats it. Nothing beats it. And this song is dripping in stank.
That's some fat Van Halen stank on that. Is what that is, man. Just
hitting
on
those
all
high notes hard.
Yeah, on all cylinders. Like I'm talking, just everybody, especially Sammy and Mikey, and like even Eddie with I'm sure he's doing some of that harmony as well. But just it's so good. And this is not even their most like hard hitting, like fast paced song that they could be doing. It has no trace of that familiar Van Halen swing that they do so well that we were so fond of. No, we're not doing that here. It's kind of like this slow drive, you know, it's a march. It's a march to very plainly directly tell you what it is that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
At what I'm after here, like this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm after. This is how it is. And it's very matter of fact, and I like that.
All right, I don't know if you can call yourself a fan of this band and not appreciate what Eddie, Alex, and even Mikey are doing there. Mikey just playing the dun-dun-dun-dun, but it fits so well. Scott Monroe says, you could say this song has got great thrust to it. I see what you did there, Scott.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Jazz says it's Feel Your Love Tonight in reverse.
Eddie's all over the place, and I just picture him just sweating, doing all this, you know, physicalness of him, and then Mikey's just kind of barely moving.
Just doing that little part, yeah.
But it's still cool. It works.
Oh, could you imagine this guitar, this whole sound through an echo machine just to mess with it, and it would just be amazing. There's no way to mess this up. It's great.
And again, Tokyo 89, Michael Griffith, that solo is pretty fucking rocking, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
You're right though, Michael. Eddie is kind of all over the place, and yet it all fits. Once again, here we have Eddie playing a solo that it fits the song. However, sometimes when Eddie does that, he's playing a little bit more subtle in his solos because it's just like let me. I don't want to go too outside the spectrum of what we're doing in the structure here. But here he's all over the place, and it still works because it's just. I don't even have a lot of great analysis words to speak because like that solo just I forgot what the solo sounded like, and so hearing this was like very very fresh, and boy if that don't get you hard, oof.
Yeah.
But I don't want to tip my hand on this album, and I cannot wait to do the album.
I know he had Alex in his ear, so Alex would never let him go too far. So if he got really, really wild out there, Alex would kind of, he knows, oh, I got to come back here a little bit. And then kept them grounded. Yep. Mikey, too.
Chaz Charles in the chat, and he's no Sammy fan, says, this is seriously the best writing for Van Halen Sammy ever pulled off, in his opinion.
I mean,
you got it, Chaz.
Yeah.
That's, just, you know.
Can't argue, really.
Not going to argue. Yeah. Not going to argue with you, but. It's an interesting perspective. It's an interesting choice, but again,
this is something Dave would write about, right? And this is I think Sammy's pretty on par. I prefer my entendres a little more shady. Like, don't just come right out and say it. Like, your first line of the song should be "Let's fuck." It should, you know. Dave is a master at that, right? Sammy's just more or less slip and slide it in, fucker. Let's do it.
You know, hey, some guys are better with the synonyms and metaphors than others. But nevertheless, though, listen to how Sammy is singing this song, and just everyone sounds like they're having fun with this. Like, this is just already, it's a fun song because, I mean, given the subject matter, you either don't take it too seriously or you take it so seriously that it just falls apart. You know. Probably like Up for Breakfast. So
there you go.
There's
my extension of the music.
Yep.
It just flows completely.
100%.
It does. And he's one. And he's letting himself have it too. You know, he's doing things you would expect from Sammy. Or I'm sorry, from Dave, because Dave is good at those howls and those like weird little things that he does. Sammy can also do it, but he does it differently, and he does it the Sammy style. And when it hits, and in this particular track, I feel like him doing that sort of, I'm not saying it's a Dave style thing is what he's doing, but there are, you can find common ground there. But man, this, it just really, it really works. It really works with what he's doing. And I mean, need I say more about the instrumentalists?
Yeah. And Scott Monroe in the chat says, I wish the EVH solo was higher in the mix. Sounds like we're listening to him from Down in the Batcave, which is a big complaint about OU812 in general, that a remaster is not gonna fix. We need a remix for that to happen, right? Where we can kind of fix those issues. I know a lot of people heard remaster and got really excited. It's like, well, it's gonna sound cleaner, it's gonna sound better. It's not a remix, though. We're still gonna have the kind of the same issues we had with OU812 when it came out in 1988.
Yeah, exactly. So a remix for sure. Absolutely need it.
Oh, that's maybe my favorite part of the song, because that's Alex saying, all right, you just ripped a great solo.
Remember me?
Yeah, listen to this.
Don't forget.
Thank you for pausing. That's his reaction.
Yeah.
That's exactly. So that's our favorite thing, is this, the whole like, okay, I hear what you're doing, Eddie. Wait, watch this. And it's just like never letting you forget who he is.
And he loves doing that. I love it when he does that. Like, yeah. And then Sammy, too, is like, here's a fucking great howl you're going to get, too. Way better than Dave can do. Sorry, Dave lovers, but nobody howls like Sammy Hager.
It's just gonna be
Jeff goes, sorry, but the lyrics are pretty stupid. Yes.
I mean,
like
sure.
I said, you know, I prefer David Lee Roth, you know, playing around the subject a little more. David Lee Roth writes these songs much better than Sammy. The harder, the better. Yeah. Let's do it till we're black and blue. Like, yeah, there's not a lot of gray area there. I agree with you there, but I still like it.
These lyrics. These lyrics might be stupid, but yet they're brilliant because it fits. You know, it's just like Jump. Those lyrics are completely nonsensical, but they work. It fits. You know,
in the music, not the vocals.
Yep.
Correct. You know, it's not until, you know, Sammy lets out that gigantic howl, and then you're like, oh, okay. And he's like, scares you back into his, like, remember what we're singing about. It, like, oh, right.
It's almost that howl you used to do on Won't Get Fooled Again on Live right here, right now. Chaz, again, who hates Sammy, says, this is everything that was great about Van Halen, no matter who was singing it. I think that sums it up really, really well. Yeah.
Chaz has been drinking. He's in a good mood.
I would say, you know, we're going to hear Jason and Joe do that next year.
Yes. Please do Black and Blue. Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
The harder the better.
the wetter the better. Come on, Sammy. Like, at least try.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, at least try. At least try.
Right.
That means that you know they've succeeded in their mission.
I guess.
Till they're black and blue, you know. Wetter the better. What's wrong with that? I like it. The wetter the better. That like that's great. Come on.
I don't. I'm not ragging on him. These are some of his better sex lyrics. We already know. I don't have to call out the bad ones. Yeah, but
of all his sex lyrics, like these are obviously some of the better.
Some of the better ones, even though they're pretty on the nose. Yeah.
That's what there is. Yeah, like he is a more on the nose lyrical guy, whereas, you know, as you said, would Dave write something a little bit more suggestive and like somewhat poetic? Probably. But would he be able to sing it as well? No, not a chance.
Scott Everett, the wetter the better. Again, this can't be the first single. You're not wrong. Yeah. It's a little too, especially
now I'm siding with him.
Right? Like, it's not the music that was the issue. It was the lyrical content.
It was the content.
Yeah. Scott Haskins says this is basically a pop-up book on sex. Yep. Pretty much.
Yeah. And look, hey, all you kids that were, you know, jamming this shit when it arrived, can you say that that it was, when you were listening to it in your younger days, when this came out, were you thinking, that's pretty on the nose? That's stupid lyrics. No, not at all. You're going like, oh, that's fucking cool. He's like, oh, man, he's talking about fucking. That's great. Yeah.
And poor Scott Haskin, one of these days, he's going to lose his virginity. I'm predicting it right now. All right, let's get back.
You have to wait. Before you do, you have to read out Scott Monroe's comment just
okay.
now.
Okay. Wait a sec, slip and slide, wetter the better. This is a water park song, guys. We got Sammy all wrong. See?
See? He loves water parks.
He loves water
he's
parks.
All about being in the water. You know, this is the Cabo Wabo guy. He's got tequila. Man, he just wants to be on a beach.
How did I miss
or
that?
At a water park. Yeah. And then he's going to be up for breakfast, you know, after having a water park day.
You know what? I was watching that new Napoleon movie by Ridley Scott when he ate the ice cream sundae and then conquered San Dimas.
Right.
He was at the water park there, too. So, yeah. I'm in a water park frame of mind.
I heard that they don't incorporate not one scene in that new Napoleon movie where he eats the Ziggy Piggy ice cream mountain. And well, I think it's a crock. I think it's a whole crock is what I say.
Josh in the chat says, at least it lacks food metaphors. Amen, brother. Yep. You got it there.
Yeah. Don't need it here. We're straightforward here.
Scott Haskett, after the show, it's hookers and blow again. Well, I tell you, he lives in Las Vegas. Both are easy to come by. He's thinking about moving to North Dakota, though. Like from Las Vegas to North Dakota. A little bit of a culture shock there.
Well, you're certainly not going to find much hookers and blow over there, at least not easily.
They're going to be wearing parkas pretty quick, that's for sure. All right, let's finish this one off.
Take us out, Al.
Some stank on it.
That's right. Oh man. And then we almost went into second and third base. I almost wanted to keep it going. Like, oh man.
I know.
I like
there was a moment where I thought it was just gonna fade out. And because you know that's not uncommon for you know Van Halen to do the fade out. They're very big on that. thought we were going to get it, and then they subverted our expectations yet again with a quick, just a quick cut.
Yep.
There it is. Just the nick of time there.
Josh,
black and blue.
He heard a little tip of the hat to Slow Hand on the coda there. Did you guys pick that up?
Yes. Yes, I did, actually.
Yep. Nice.
Good call there, Josh. Good stuff, man. I love that. Yes. Like, take us out, Al. What are we doing here? Man. All right. Well, black and blue from OU812. Another a Sammy Hagar era tune, because we couldn't not spin a Sammy Hagar tune. It's Sammy is in the news right now. He's all the rage, so might as well get as much Sammy era in as we can in these last 23 weeks of this this wheel. So I will divert it to our panelists here, our patrons, our honored guests and co-hosts of the show, if you will. Michael Triplett, man, thank you for being on, and here you are. So now I put it to you, black and blue. Is it what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
This is off my favorite. This is my favorite Sammy album, OU812, and this is a great track off of it. We'll do the rating show and go from there. But I can't downvote anything on this record.
No one would fault you for
great
that.
Great sound. I mean, I hate to say this one. You look at the lyrics are dumb, but the way Sammy sings it, you don't pay attention to the lyrics.
Yeah.
So I'm just listening to it, enjoying it, and that's it. It's a great one.
Indeed. There you go.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. Sometimes that's the way to do it, because no other words are necessary. We'll see if Michael Griffith feels the same way. Michael, returning to the show to give us his up or down on black and blue. Is it what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
I mean, to me, this song never gets old. Some Sammy songs do. This one just doesn't. I mean, really, the whole album, like, I know you like it, Michael. It really doesn't. I always go back and forth between 5150, this, or Cabo as my favorite Sam song. Today, this is my favorite Sam song. Be different next week, but it's so good. The band's tight. They're like you said, I think you said it, Corey, they're having fun. You can just tell they're having fun doing this song. And the harmonies are just another level. It's just fantastic. So yeah, they should have. I wonder what the video would have been like if they did do a video for this.
Oh boy.
Oh, what could have been. or maybe we don't want to see that, but you know, they probably would have made the video like some like cheesy looking like tampon commercial looking thing, if, you know, where it's like It's all just shots of random shit, and it has nothing to do with the context.
They're going
of
down
the
water
song.
Slides. It's a water park. Remember?
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah. It's a water park. The wetter, the better. That would have been hilarious. They
two mics,
that.
Two likes. Scott Monroe pointed out. There you go.
Nicely done. But then there was Corey, Corey, you're pretty. You're. I mean, y'all know you're a Sammy guy as well as a Dave guy, but there are times when you just can't give it to Sammy. Sometimes you just can't. Whether it's his lyrics or what have you, and we've spoken about these lyrics quite a bit, so I ask you this. Did Black and Blue meet your criteria of dream is over, or rather, is it what dreams are made of, or did it fail the test and the dream is over?
Hmm. Oh, wait, that's not the right song.
Damn it.
It's my favorite track off of OU812. It always has been. I love that stank factor. It's just dripping in stank. The solo is so fucking good. The harmonies are so good. Sammy's singing the fuck out of it. Thin or not. This is one of those songs where sometimes if the song kind of loses me, I notice the production issues. I don't notice the production issues. Do I wish that we had a big booming kick drum like we did on For Unlawful, or even Balance for that matter? Absolutely, but they're playing the fuck out of this. It is so damn good, and I'm just praying that they will bust this out, especially in Toronto, the show I'm at. Please bust out Black and Blue. It's the second to last song on OU812. We only have one song left, and it's actually When It's Love, the track most associated with the Sammy era, probably from this record. So it's kind of ironic that's the last one. But I've been manifesting Black and Blue for a while. It's by far my favorite track on this album. But Mark Meyer, the question remains: are you going to make it a quadrilogy, if you will, of yeses with the two mics and myself, or are you going to vote "The Dream Is Over"? What say you, sir?
What do you think? It's not my favorite song from OU812, but it is a very, very close second. You know, that being said, Black and Blues, this is wonderful. This is just a wonderful song. Is it cheesy, like, lyrically? Yes. Does it fit? Also, yes. Does the music absolutely encapsulate what we love about Van Halen? Yes. It's fun. It's just a good, it's not even, I don't know if I would call it a party rock song, but you could play this on a party. Why not? Especially depending on the kind of party that it is. Then it's absolutely fit the motif. But other than that, it's not their most overly complex, not their overly technical, and yet the boys find a way to lure you in with, I guess, really kind of a simplistic intro, and they gain your trust. If they haven't earned it already, they gain your trust. They pull you in a little bit. It's like, hey, come on, let me talk to you real quick. You know, something nice and easy. And then they just rip you apart with, you know, just sort of everything else that happens. But they do it in such a neat, sophisticated way, if you will. You know, at least to me, it sounds sophisticated. And I'm talking about the out of control solo that Eddie Van Halen pulls off, that it sounds out of control, but it is well within his control, because the man's got Tone of the Gods in his fingers, and he's able to make his fretboard do anything he wants it to do, and then some. And then you got Alex doing, we mentioned it before, it's just the duo of Alex and Eddie just sort of showing off in their own special way, but still making it fit the song. And then, of course, you know, Michael has his moments to shine. It would have shone a little bit brighter had the mix been better. That is my only criticism of this track, and really the album, is just the mix. And we've talked about that, and we've continued to talk about that. And by the time we're talking about the album as a whole, I'm sure that will be the biggest point of contention. Nevertheless, if you can get past that and just listen to it for the song that it is, how it's structured, how it's performed, this is just a very, to me, a key quintessential Van Halen song. Maybe it's not your top five, but I think it belongs at least in the top 10 or maybe 20. No, I'd say top 10, actually. I think this belongs in the top 10. At least for me, it does. And as a Hagar era, I think it's one of the top tiers. But again, that's just my opinion. But this is absolutely what dreams are made of. Black and Blue from OU812. Man, I'm glad we spun this track, and I know you were excited. Oh,
that's right.
Game.
It is time to play. How many times have Van Halen performed Black and Blue live in concert? Man. Mark Meyer, you are the reigning champion. You've won like the last, I lost count, like at least a dozen times.
I've done all right.
Yeah, I don't know if you've been cheating or what have you, but the question is now posed to you, sir. How many times do you think Van Halen performed Black and Blue?
Well, I have to imagine that for the tour of this album, they busted it out. It was a single, so, I mean, obviously it had to play for good. I'm going to say they probably played this thing. I'll go so far as to say they played it 175 times.
175. There you go. Michael Griffith, let's go to you next. How many times do you think Van Halen performed Black and Blue?
So I know they did Monsters of Rock. They did the OU812 tour. I don't think they did this with Foreign Lawful and Right Here, Right Now and Balance. I don't think this song was in the set list. I might be wrong, but I'm going to go lower. I'm going to say 110.
110. All right. Michael Triplett, we now ask you, how many times do you think? Remember, this is Price is Right rules. You have to get closer to the actual number without going over. How many times do you think Van Halen performed Black and Blue?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember this one. I want to say it was a summer tour, so it was just over the summer months, maybe 3 months. And so I'm going to go way less than those guys. I'm going to go 50.
50. All right. Well, Michael Triplett.
Oh.
You got it, my friend. The correct answer Actually, if we're going with our people in the chat, Scott Everett said 70. The correct answer is 79 times. Sorry, 74. Ooh. By Van Halen. 74 is the official answer. They also...
Scott.
Yep. Sammy the Circle played it twice, and Van Hagar, a tribute band, played it three times. But so it's 74 times. So Scott Everett technically wins. He gets the brand new washer and dryer and the dinette set. Congratulations. Sammy the Circle only played it twice. I'm a little nervous they won't maybe break it out this summer. I'm really kind of hoping they do, though. I'd love to hear Black and Blue.
Well, congratulations, Scott Everett. Have your pet spayed and neutered. So
there you go.
The champ has fallen. But, you know, it is what it is.
But out of our panel here tonight, Michael Triplett, the new patron, is the winner. Yes. Mark Kammerer will send you a dinette set in the mail. So be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, be on the lookout
for the next time to listen to the show.
There you go. So, all right, you guys, we've done it. Another one off the wheel, and oof, man, look how full that text is on that wheel. It's just,
here we go.
It's kind of
22 songs.
You can read
left.
So clearly, 22 songs left. Wow, what a we do this every week, or at least I do it. Just kind of, I give myself like a retrospective when I see this wheel, because I remember how we started it, and we're not done yet, but it is dwindling down, man. That's I'm feeling not sad, but a sense of accomplishment, and I'm not ready for the finale just yet. So we've still got lots more shows, not to mention the live shows that we've got to do. Yep. When we finish an album, we have not finished OU812 yet, but that is on the way. We still got Van Halen 3 to complete, unfortunately. And then I think 1984 we're
1984
close?
We're close. 5150 we got two left on that one. We got one left on Van Halen 3. Van Halen 1 I think still has the most on it, so.
Which is hilarious to me. That's the one. But hey, look, if we have to go out on just the last bit of Van Halen 1, I'm not going to be upset about that at all. And everyone knows why. So, time will tell. And in the remaining weeks, we will do this. So,
Scott Everett. Scott Everett is killing me here. Do you really want to hear a 76-year-old hurting his hips while singing Push It In? Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. If that 76-year-old is Sammy Hagar, I absolutely want to hear that. I can't wait to hear it and see it. Like, that's going to be a great time. I really hope they add this song to the repertoire. So just for that. And I'll record it on my phone just so I can bring it to the Discord and show you guys. Like, yep, still got it. Still there. It's awesome. Oh. Unless it sucks. If it doesn't sound great, then I'll be like, well, you're right. We shouldn't have seen this. But I don't foresee that happening.
You know, that reminds me, we had a patron of ours send us some clips from the Mammoth WVH show that he was at. You know what? I'm going to bust those out next week. Ben Andreozzi went and caught a Mammoth WVH in concert. Yep. So
yeah, be on the lookout next week.
We'll play a clip or two from that show. It was tremendous. I've been watching these clips, and Ben had really good seats, first of all. And Wolfie sounds amazing live. So we'll play that for you next week.
Right on. So good stuff there. Hey, speaking of patrons, honored patrons, you guys, we say it every week, but we're going to keep saying it until you finally just give in and say, fine, you can shut up about it. And even then, I probably won't. But we have a Patreon. We have tiers that might fit your critique. If you guys want to find a tier that is right for you. If we don't have something specific that you're looking for that you want to hear us do, then let us know. We'll make the tier for you. We're not above it. We've got tiers that could fit most anybody, but if we don't have it, let us know. And just to show you that I'm not wrong, we have a whole list, a whole spectacle of patrons that have already joined the Patreon. I'm going to list them off to you right now. Matt Lacoste, Nate from the Deep Purple Podcast, Rave of Flave, Josh Caldwell, Greg Zito, Chaz Charles, Sean McGinnity, Kevin Brown, Per Lineker, Scott Monroe, Ryan Powell, Jeff Brewer, Ben Andreozzi, Tom Armbruster, Scott Everett, Heath McCoy, Janice Risco, Brad Gould, Davey Lee Smith, and of course, our honored guests for the show tonight, and our honored, panelists, co-hosts, if you will. That's what I like to say. You're our honored co-hosts. You're members of the show at this point. Especially you, Michael. This is not your first rodeo. You've been here with us many, many times, and we thank you. Michael, again, thank you so much for being on. As always, it's always a pleasure. Let the people know if you got anything to plug or where they can find you.
Just at Mike S. Griffith. That's on whatever platform. And yeah, hit me up, talk Van Halen.
Absolutely. He is not shy about to talk Van Halen. Do that. Hit him up for it.
Scott Monroe.
Michael Triplett.
I just want to say, Scott Monroe points out, as well as being a patron, sometimes you get to fill in on the show while there's holidays because Mark just all of a sudden can't record. So there you go. Yeah.
Sometimes, Mark gets overwhelmed with things and has to bow out. And then luckily, you guys seem to fill that slot real fast. Like, you guys were sort of itching to take over the show, it seems like. So I don't know. I think I'm on to you.
Michael Triplett was really quick to say, yeah, I'm in. So I don't know. He might be angling for your job.
Hey, you know, look, all that matters to me is that people were enthusiastic and you guys are still enthusiastic about being part of the show and getting in on the conversation. So with that, Michael Triplett, thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me on the show. Pleasure, I'm a music fan, not a social media fan, and I'll leave it at that. So appreciate you guys having me on the show tonight, and looking forward to next week's watching next week and
absolutely
being in the lurker room. Wherever we land.
I tell you, as a tier 4 patron, you get to come on once a month, so we'll bring you and all the Michaels back next month, December. Sometime between Christmas and New Year's, we'll probably get everybody back together. We're going to be down to about 19 songs at that point, and getting kind of sad, but I'm looking forward to getting, and to all our tier 4 patrons who couldn't make it here tonight, especially Matt Lacoste, who's under the weather, says he can't even talk without coughing. We hope you feel better, and we look forward to having you back on the show next month. But thank you to all of our Tier 4 patrons and all of our patrons for supporting us and keeping the lights on around here.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's you guys keep us motivated to keep going. So yeah, keep that motivation coming. If you want to see us go further, take the podcast beyond what we have in store for. Our mission is to complete the Van Halen catalog, and we're damn near close to doing it. So what happens after that is up to you guys. If you want to hear more, you want to hear us keep going and do some other wheels, some wheels that you have an idea about and you'd like us to talk about, then you just got to let us know, make your voices heard, and let's do it to it. You know what I mean? So there it is. Also, you guys, if you go over to podcastwillrock.com, you can find all the back catalog shows that we have. You can also find a link to our merch store. We've got merch. We've mentioned shirts many times before. Our lovely friend Kevin Brown has been so generous to lend us some great shirt designs. They are hilarious. They're on point. They're on brand. Lots of them filled with little inside jokes that you got to listen to the show. If you know, you know. And honestly, it's still a dream of mine to see a small army of apologies to Gary shirts just roaming the streets in hopes that one day Gary Cherone will actually see these and be very confused and want to ask what that's all about. And you'll have to tell him. You got to tune into this show, man. Like, you'll either love it or you will absolutely hate it. I don't know. But something about it just puts a smile on my face when I think about just an army of you guys wearing shirts saying apologies to Gary. And
Pull an Axl Rose and jump off.
That is true. Like, I think he's got and this to his credit, I think Gary's got a much better temperament than Axl Rose. You know, I think a lot of people do, but I mean, I'm going to give Gary the benefit of the doubt there. I think he's probably a much nicer guy than that. So I don't think he'll assault you, but I do think if he sees a whole bunch of you wearing those shirts, he'll go, "What in the hell is this all about?" And direct him to our show. Yeah, direct him to our show. Let him know. Let him see it. And hey, if he wants to be part of it, we will happily have him on with open arms and open ears. You know, it's like, tell us your side of the story. Actually, I kind of really, really want that. So make my dreams come true, you guys. Go over to our merch store. It's on TeePublic. Get yourselves a Podcast Will Rock t-shirt, an Apologies to Gary shirt, either one. Either way, the holiday seasons are coming up. The sales are going to be happening. You want to get these shirts now because the time is ripe. Get ones for your loved ones, for your kids, whomever. And also, hey, you know what helps? Sharing the show. Let people know. I'm sure you got friends that are Van Halen fans and be like, hey, you want to listen to this podcast of these dudes talking about Van Halen? And if they say no, you'd be like, well, you should listen to him anyway, and then force them to listen to it. And they'll be converted like that. It'll be great. So yeah, no, any little bit of a little sharing or a little rating, whatever, all the things that the podcasting algorithms need us to do, help us out there. But otherwise, keep doing what you're doing. You guys are keeping the conversation alive on social media, and we appreciate that. We thank you. So that's all I got. Corey, always a pleasure, my dude. Can you please let the people know where they can find other shows that are like us?
Absolutely. Before I do that, though, Josh in the chat, he got a shirt, and he's sporting his at NAMM 2024. Yes! So that's a great thing there.
That's going to be great.
I was just on TeePublic. They got a sale on right now, 28 hours. So, yeah, if you want to get 35% off site-wide, now is the time to get your Podcast Will Rock merch. But as Mark mentioned, absolutely, we are part of a network of like-minded podcasts, all fantastic. Let's just run through the list here for you real quick. First of all, we have Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, featuring myself and Scott Haskin. Backtracks Theme Music with myself and John Mariano. The Ultimate Catalog Clash with myself and Kevin Brown. We are just finishing up Phil Collins Era Genesis. Tomorrow night, we are going to start recording Season 2. I won't tell you who the band is, but it's going to be really interesting. So check that out. Kevin Brown, of course, also does the Tom Petty Project and Seaside Pod Review with the one and only Randy Woods. Scott Haskin has done Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast. That show is done. You can go back and catch up on the entire Uriah Heep catalog. Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, one of the original deep dive podcasts and one of the best ones out there. The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered. Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the other side. Happy belated birthday, Terry T-Bone Mathley. Hope you had a great day, my friend. Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast. Paul, Joan, David at In the Lap of the Pods. They've only got a few shows left before they wrap it up, so go check them out. Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge. Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z. Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madmen, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast. Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast. George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast. Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast. That's a U.S. music versus Canadian music show. Check that out. It's a heck of a lot of fun. Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What. Quinn at And Volume for All. Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast, one of the best podcasts out there. Chaz and Greg at Regarding Lulu. That one's wrapped up. Thank God. If you want to torture yourself, go listen to some Lulu, Lou Reed and Metallica. I don't know why the hell you'd want to do that. Although Chaz and Greg are really, really great on that show. Chaz and Shats are doing Rush Rash. That show's a lot of fun. I was on that show. Spun a great Rush tune. Go check them out there. And Chaz and Wolfie are doing Regarding Roger. That's Roger Waters, not Roger Moore, not Roger Whittaker, not any of your other favorite Rogers. It's Roger Waters, who redid Dark Side of the Moon for no reason whatsoever. And please check out our other friends like Eric at Booked on Rock, Sean and Todd at the Sean Geek and Fast Red Podcast, and our buddies at the DLR Cast and the Bogus Otis Show.
Woo! Lots of fun content there, you guys. You're not going to be bored, that's for sure. So definitely check out one, two, or all of those shows. You're going to have a fun time. All wonderful stuff there. So,
before we go, I forgot one. Give me a second while I look it up here. We had somebody reach out through our website just to tell us they really like the show. And I told them that I would give him a shout out here. He goes by the name of Fruitcake Tony. And you can find him at Fruitcake Tony on YouTube. But his message was, hey, guys, I love the show. Fruitcake Tony from Hallenville Live here. I love everything you guys are doing. God bless you. We talk Van Halen every Tuesday on his channel. Reach out anytime. So, yeah, Tony, thank you very much for reaching out. And I'm definitely going to check out Fruitcake Tony on YouTube. So everybody check out Fruitcake Tony. Just, I guess, Google Fruitcake Tony, and there you go.
I just have this vision of this guy named Tony, and he's just like surrounded by fruitcake, and he's like, all right, it's Tuesday. Yeah. We're going to talk Van Halen. And
the rest of the week, we're talking fruitcake. This one day, we're talking just Van Halen.
I like the idea that he doesn't even address the fruitcake. It's just there. It's just there for you to see. It's just like, no, we're not going to talk about it. Don't ask me. It's called Fruitcake Tony. What are you doing?
Hopefully it's not a Gary alias.
Oh, man.
Wouldn't that be something? Holy cow.
Fruitcake Tony, if that's your real name. And it's like, if you happen to be somebody else, please let us know. No, that ain't Gary. That's definitely not Gary. But all right, yeah, like, well, thank you very much for your kind words, Tony, man. That's awesome stuff. Yeah, we'll check it out. And hey, you never know what the future brings, but we've got 22 songs left in the main wheel, so you know, time's ticking as far as this iteration of the show, but we're not there yet, so you guys do not fret. I know I'm getting like oddly sort of final here, but it's not final, because we've still got lots of shows left to do. Like I said, we've got the live shows when we finish an album. Those are all great, great fun, where we get a whole bunch of you to join in the conversation. So how did Fruitcake get in there? I don't know, Chaz.
That's a good question.
But, good questions. Maybe we'll have to reach out to Fruitcake Tony and get the lowdown on what's going on. But that's a show for another day. Until then, on behalf of the Michael Squared and Corey Morissette and myself, we are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.